Pacific Daylight Time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News. There are new suggestions for an end to the Nixon presidency from formerly friendly sources. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Republican Senator Marlo Cook of Kentucky said Thursday night Mr. Nixon must seriously consider resigning in view of what Cook termed the moral turpitude revealed in the White House Watergate transcripts. More on the Republican unrest from Jed Duval in Washington.
In a week's time, Republican congressmen have become more anxious and less confident about President Nixon. The release of the edited transcripts has changed many minds here, in varying degrees, away from support of the president. The third-ranked GOP member, John Anderson of Illinois, said the president's resignation would be beneficial to the country. Anderson said he has seen a movement among his Republican colleagues away from the president since release of the transcripts and reckoned that one way or another, Mr. Nixon will not serve out his entire term. John Rhodes, the number one Republican in the House, said he thought the president ought to consider resigning if, said Rhodes, loss of public confidence prevents effective discharge of duty. Another congressman told me the Rhodes statement represented the views of many in the House. But Texan James Collins, a steadfast backer of Mr. Nixon, said the opinion is Rhodes alone and, quote, I'm sorry he made the statement. Jed Duval, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Three major newspapers which supported President Nixon's bids for the White House in 1968 and 72 are now calling for the president's impeachment or resignation. Making the call for Mr. Nixon to leave office are the Los Angeles Times, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and the Kansas City Times. The House Judiciary Committee Thursday opened its impeachment inquiry, Chairman Peter Rodino pledging the procedure will be carried out with wisdom, decency, and principle. The opening statements by Rodino and ranking Republican Edward Hutchinson were broadcast live. Then the committee voted to continue its sessions for the time being behind closed doors. More news after this message.
John Jones, statistic, born with cleft feet and cleft palate.
Shirley Smith, statistic, born blind.
Tom Kelly, statistic, born with an open spine.
Statistic, children born with birth defects. 250,000 of them every year. One out of every 14 babies.
Small statistics with a whole life ahead of them.
Small statistics who cry and think and feel and want to love.
Why should life deny them good health at birth?
The March of Dimes leads the fight for this right.
Good health at birth. Good health at birth. Good health at birth.
Through medical service programs, public education, and scientific research.
So that one day the ultimate goal will be reached.
The prevention of all birth defects.
But birth defects are forever unless you help.
Please, will you give to the March of Dimes?
One major automaker predicts that certain safety and anti-pollution equipment being proposed for new cars of the future will cost the car buyers a bundle. In Detroit, Henry Ford II makes this statement.
We estimate that the statutory emission standards and the proposed revisions to safety and damageability standards, if they become effective, will add nearly $800 more to the price of the average car during the next few years. The total direct cost of these regulations to the consumer would then be nearly $1,200 per car.
Ford says government officials should take what he termed a more common-sense approach toward auto costs in the interest of helping hold down inflation. After an economic review with Republican congressional leaders, President Nixon said he thinks the inflationary spiral will taper off during the second half of this year. AFL-CIO President George Meany says he thinks there'll be an inflation rate of around 15% this year. Meany says part of the problem is what he termed the complete lack of confidence by the people in President Nixon. Now this message.
You're driving through town. You pass a sign you may have seen 1,000 times, but never really noticed. The sign of your local American Red Cross chapter. Look behind that sign, and you'll see that the good neighbor is on call 24 hours a day. Not only to help when major disasters strike, but with hundreds of special and personal needs of people in trouble. People who suffer. People you know. You'll find us helping to feed and shelter people when there's a flood or a hurricane. You'll also find us teaching blind kids to swim, new citizens to learn English, and helping addicts to unravel their snarled lives. Across the country, in fact, we get involved in over 100 different helping people jobs. American Red Cross. It's working right where you live.
The Russians are finally giving the Western Allies credit for helping win World War II. In the past, Soviet commentators have tried to play down the role of the U.S. and the other Western countries, especially in the European theater, saying the Allies held back and allowed the Red Army to bear the brunt of the sacrifices until victory was in sight. But now, Pravda, the Soviet Communist Party newspaper, concedes that winning the war against Germany and Japan was a joint effort, and that serious blows to the enemy were dealt by the Western armies. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. And now the weather forecast for the Puget Sound area. Considerable cloudiness and a few showers tonight, decreasing tomorrow with partial afternoon clearing. Partly cloudy Saturday and slight chance of showers. Lows in the mid-40s, highs near 60 tomorrow and the lower 60s Saturday. Wind southwest 10 to 20 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow. Presently, the temperature is 49 degrees. The KIXI CBS Mystery Theater is brought to you in part by your friendly Tradewell store.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to another world. A world of suspense. A world of the unexpected. And a world where fantasy and reality may often wear the same face. We are told the truth shall make you free. However, in certain situations, the truth can send you to jail. And so it's all a matter of what freedom really means, not to mention what truth really means. For Eleanor Hartley, this is no philosophical, theological, or intellectual exercise. It has become suddenly a tangible and terrible fact of life.
Nice of you to show up, Congresswoman.
Mr. Perry, I agreed to visit you in your cell on two conditions. A, it would be kept secret. B, I would do nothing that's foreign to my principles.
Of course, of course.
Mr. Perry, I find you a thoroughly despicable person.
I've heard that before.
You make your money from narcotics, gambling, extortion, prostitution.
Well, you know, everybody should do what he does best.
And you're a murderer.
I could never prove that in court.
Till now. But it looks as if they've got you finally. They have you cold for the murder of Paul Grover.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to see you, Congresswoman. I thought you'd want to do the right thing.
The right thing?
Yeah. And the right thing would be for you to confess to that murder.
What did you say?
You heard me.
Why should I confess?
Because you killed Paul Grover. Well, Congresswoman, didn't you?
Mystery drama, A Tiny Drop of Poison, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tammy Grimes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You don't see many people putting salt in their beer nowadays. Not that there's anything wrong with salt on radishes or French fries, but man, not in the king of beers. Truth is, the only thing salt can do for Budweiser is make it salty. An unwise thing to do to the only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Unsalted Budweiser has become the most popular beer in the world. That's because in brewing Bud, the Budweiser Brewmaster goes all the way for a taste, a smoothness, a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. And something else you can take without a grain of salt. The fact that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The Northwest and its outdoor-oriented residents share more of Mother Nature than a lot of people in the USA. Somehow we get acclimatized by our willingness to sail, fish, camp, and hunt in the natural environment. Sony has developed television portables in color and black and white that make leisure and recreational experiences more enjoyable. Sony has combined solid-state electronics to create the finest portable TV sets available. Sony portable features include AC-DC circuitry, optional battery pack, and plug-in cords to boats, campers, and auto power systems. The glare-free screen is really great, too, when the sun finally comes out.
Onvigs at 3811 Northeast 45th is your full-line Sony television dealer. Bob and Bill Onvig and their sales staff are real outdoor enthusiasts. They know what Sony portable TV sets can do for folks who work and play in the Northwest environment. It's a nice way to enjoy the great outdoors or the many moods of Mother Nature.
There's simply no way of knowing. So often, a fateful day will begin quietly, prosaically, with absolutely no hint that the steady pace of the commonplace is destined to quicken or falter. With no intimation that today a die will irrevocably be cast, and henceforward our lives will change forever. Or even cease to exist. A day like this has dawned for Eleanor Hartley. But she doesn't know it yet. Eleanor Hartley, at 32, she has it all. Looks, brains, personality, and a mission in life that seems certain of fulfillment. And on this day, this particular day, Eleanor Hartley is in a recording studio making a very important statement.
The principal issue, the primary issue, the overriding, indeed the only issue, is morality. Do you or do you not? Can you or can you not trust your elected representatives?
Okay, Eleanor, thanks. We got it.
But I haven't finished.
That's all we need.
Tom, I intend to run my own campaign.
Absolutely. Maury, don't edit any of this stuff now. Grab a portable rig and come on with us. We're going to the Madison Beach Club.
Just a minute. I have no intention of going to the...
You know, we didn't even drink our coffee. Why don't we just relax for a couple of minutes?
Mr. Caldwell, I think it's time we reached an understanding.
I thought we understood each other all along. You want some sugar?
I agreed to run for Congress because a group of concerned citizens asked me.
Well, they did.
And I thought it would be that simple. Why do I have to go to the Madison Beach Club?
You want to talk to people? That's where thousands of them are. Also, you look great in a bikini.
I think that's dishonest.
Why? It's your very own body. Is it your fault that it's more attractive than your opponent's, who happens to be a bald, paunchy old party hack?
Oh, why can't politics be simple?
You know, it's been such a morning. Didn't even get a chance to see the papers. Oh, look, right here. Right here on page one. This is what the game is all about.
What?
Look, we got some more results from the surveys. You have gone up 7 points in the last week.
That's not very much.
Are you kidding? An unknown running against Big Jim Parkhurst, an entrenched incumbent? The way you're gathering momentum, we are in. Look, Eleanor, I have to know something.
What?
Big Jim is going to take you seriously from now on.
I should hope so.
Things may get rough.
I'm not afraid.
You don't know what rough is. You don't know how Parkhurst's people will probe and pry and dig. So, if there's anything in your past, anything at all...
What are you trying to say?
By now, Parkhurst has unleashed the hounds. They'll examine your life from the day you were born.
I have nothing to hide.
Good.
That is...
Yeah?
No. No one would ever come up with anything to embarrass me.
The year you were 22?
What about that year?
Eleanor, we can't account for it.
What are you talking about?
Well, we've checked you through school, we've checked you through college.
You mean you've actually investigated me?
Of course. When you were 23, you married Ted, and the past 5 years have been an open book. But that whole year, while you were 22...
Yes, well, like so many kids who get out of college, I was at loose ends. Didn't know what I wanted. So, I just took off. I traveled around the country. I was just trying to find myself. And I did. And that's all there was to it.
Okay. Come on, finish your coffee and we're off. Hey.
What?
No, it's just nothing. It's an article here.
Which article?
Oh, it's got nothing to do with politics. I just happen to know this guy.
Who?
Some guy. He was killed about 5 years ago. Murdered one night. Nobody knew why or by whom. Well, this sure throws a new light on the case. Turns out he was a foreign agent. Who'd ever thought that Paul Grover could turn out to be a foreign...
What did you say his name was?
Grover, Paul Grover. Why, did you know him?
Grover. No, I never knew anyone.
Go like figure some people.
Tom?
Something the matter?
I didn't feel good. Got a headache. Maybe I better go home. I'll rest for a while.
Eleanor, what's the matter?
I told you, I have a headache.
Okay, it's a woman's privilege.
Hi there, Congresswoman.
Hi there, Detective.
Get any votes today?
A few. You catch any crooks?
No. I'm on a whole new thing. Sherlock Ted Hartley, that's me. I draw all the weird ones. This was a guy named Paul Grover.
Grover?
How do you like this? He was murdered 5 years ago, buried and forgotten. Now it's suddenly wide open again. You know why?
Tom showed it to me in the morning paper.
He was a spy. Which means we have to find out who killed him.
Wasn't it always important to find out?
Well, now more than ever. The information we have now is that he was ready to come over to our side and spill what he knew.
But, isn't this out of your,
The Federals asked us to cooperate. So the old man called me in and said, Ted, go get him.
Oh.
I'm a victim of my own reputation. So now I have to lone wolf around and try to sniff out a case that's 5 years old. Let's eat in tonight.
Okay.
It's a rare night I have you all to myself.
Maybe I should never have gone into politics.
What are you talking about? Here you are, a cop's wife.
You're more than just a cop.
And you're more than just a wife. It's one of those crazy things. You're going to go to Congress.
I have to be elected first.
Oh, baby, you're home free. My career took off the day I married you.
Come on, Ted.
No, I was always a good detective, but in the last 5 years, you'd be surprised how many ideas I got from you. You really taught me how to think.
What do the police know about the murder?
Well, just about zero. They figured Grover stopped for a hitchhiker because when he left his office to drive home, he was alone. They found his car at the side of the road, and he was about 30 feet away, stabbed to death. Funny guy. Lived all alone, no friends, just people who knew him casually.
Well, after all this time, how can you expect to find the killer?
Oh, I'll find the killer, whoever he is. At least that's what I keep telling myself.
I looked at Ted. If he's determined to get the killer of Paul Grover, eventually he will. And I don't know what to do. Should I tell him now? Suppose I did. What would he do about it? But why? Why should I tell him? He could never find out. For all his skill, experience, instinct, he could never find out. No one could find out. It all happened 5 years ago. When I was someone else, drifting about in another world. How could it anyone ever link me to Paul Clover? There were no clues. No one ever saw us together. No one saw it happen. No one. Thanks for picking me up, mister.
Grover. Paul Grover. What are you doing out all alone this time of night?
Oh, I just feel like walking, moving.
You, one of them hippies?
What's in a name?
Talking about names. What's yours?
Eleanor.
Eleanor what?
What does it matter?
Okay. How'd you like some supper?
That would be, welcome.
I know a nice little place just off the state highway here.
You're very kind, Mr. Grover. Very kind. Why are we stopping?
Oh, well, I figured before supper we...
We what?
Well, let me put it this way. You want your supper, you gotta sing for it.
Take your arm away.
Hey, now listen.
Don't you touch me.
Who are you kidding? I know your kind. Hey, you come back here.
Let go of me. Let go.
What are you fighting me for? A girl like you, you don't care, and I'm even willing to pay.
Help!
Scream.
Help!
Scream all you want. Who's going to hear you? Okay. You asked for this.
No. No, please, put that knife away.
You quit scratching and slapping, and you just behave yourself, and you just do as I tell you, and you won't get hurt.
I'll go to the police.
Yeah, who'd believe you? Who'd take your word against mine? I'll say you're trying to frame me. You'll go to jail. Now, come on, honey, be nice. I'll even give you money.
All right. I'll be nice.
Don't you try to run away now. I'm holding this knife.
Sure.
Well... Now you're talking.
Drop it.
You break my arm.
That's right. That's the way I was taught. Drop the knife.
I'll kill you.
Drop it. I told you to drop the knife, but you wouldn't.
I don't want to die.
Mr. Grover, I'm sorry, Mr. Grover, but I... What was I supposed to do? You wanted to kill me. What was I supposed to do? He was dead. The knife somehow had been turned against his own body. I just stood there. I remember now. I wondered why I didn't panic, but I was cool. I made sure to leave nothing behind me, not in the car, not anywhere around. There was no blood on my clothes, and so I just walked away. I walked away into the night, and no one saw me. No one had seen me get into his car. No one saw me kill him. No one saw me leave. Nowhere does any shred or scrap of evidence exist to link Eleanor Daly. Now, Eleanor Hartley to Paul Grover.
Well, she certainly told it the way it was. But is it true that there are really no clues? Perhaps there are no fingerprints or bloodstains, but how about other clues? Stronger clues. The clues that exist in the mind, the heart, the conscience. We may find a few of those when I return shortly with Act Two.
Great-faced in the morning, Kellogg's has that wholesome taste to get you up and grinning.
This is Jerry Coffer for Kellogg's Special K. We've been having some fun in our television and radio commercials by using a ball and chain to symbolize the slight overweight problem common to so many of us. We point out that being a few pounds overweight is just a little more difficult for you. Climbing stairs, just walking around, even sitting down can feel, well, like you're wearing a ball and chain. In case you missed the message, it's this. If you really want to get rid of that extra weight, you really have to work at it by exercising and with sensible meals like the Special K breakfast. A 1 ounce bowl of Special K, America's favorite high-protein cereal, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee, less than 240 calories, nutritious, and by the way, delicious. So why not begin each day with a Special K breakfast and then keep up the good work? Special K can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
Incredible what a compact portable radio can do when Sony builds it. Especially when it's a portable stereo radio. The Sony MR9100. A matrix sound system. 3 inside speakers. The most advanced way to project wide, natural sounding stereo. Now you can take your stereo with you anywhere the atmosphere is warm. Campfire, beach fire, electric blanket. Deep, full, lifelike stereo performance. The Sony Stereo Portable Radio. Nice company to have around when your hot time isn't in the old town tonight.
Omdigs at 3811 Northeast 45th is your full-line Sony Stereo Matrix radio dealer. Bob and Bill Omdig and their sales staff know what Sony's Stereo Matrix radios can do for folks who work and play in the Northwest environment. It's a nice way to enjoy the great outdoors in your home away from home.
Unusual and attractive young couple, Ted and Eleanor Hartley. Ted is a brilliant detective on the city police force. Eleanor is so bright and sincere and articulate that a citizens committee has asked her to run for Congress. Eleanor is busy with her campaign. Ted is busy trying to track down a murderer. This sounds like two different stories, but actually, it's really one story. Because the killer Tom is looking for happens to be Eleanor.
No. No, don't. Let me go. Let me go. I'll kill you, Mr. Grover. Kill you.
Eleanor, darling.
You...
Eleanor, darling, wake up. Wake up.
Oh. What? Oh. I must have had a nightmare.
You were muttering and mumbling the craziest things.
I think it's just... I've been working too hard.
Darling, you don't have to put so much into it. There are lots of people working for you.
I want to be elected, Ted. I feel I could do so much good.
Sure.
I feel I owe something.
You owe something? What?
I feel I have a debt. I have to make up for something.
What?
Oh, well, once I did someone an injury.
Who?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, but if it bothers you...
This person had it coming.
Then forget it.
It's not that easy.
Want to talk about it?
No. Part of our bargain, remember? We'd never press each other for details about what happened before we met each other.
Well, I'd say overall it's a good bargain, but... Tell me, did I bother you with this Grover case?
Bother me?
Yeah, your nightmare. You were mumbling, but you don't want to talk about it.
No, I'll talk about it if you want. I remember reading... It was such a messy murder.
I have to find the killer, no matter how long it takes.
I'm scared. Because I know Ted means it. He never quits. He'll stay with it forever. I don't know what to do. But how can I tell him? How can I confess? It was self-defense, but it'll be the end. Not just the end of my career, but the end between Ted and me.
A dedication to the truth. I will follow the truth, wherever it may lead. I will seek the truth, whomever it may hurt. What we need in our lives today, at every level, is the truth. The truth. unvarnished, stark, simple. Thank you.
Come on. We have to go. Come on.
How did it sound, Tom?
We'll sneak down the back stairs. You're due on the south side in 15 minutes. There's the car.
You didn't tell me how it sounded, Tom.
Yeah, no, I didn't. What's the matter, Eleanor?
The matter?
Yeah, with you. The speech. There's something missing.
Oh, what?
I don't know. Let's say some of the fire was out. Anything wrong?
Nothing, Tom.
Having a bit of a tiff with Ted?
Ted is absolutely in favor of my running.
So what's wrong?
Why do you insist something's wrong?
Your speech. I didn't believe a word of it.
Why?
Because it was obvious to me that you didn't mean a word of it either.
But I...
Eleanor, something is wrong. Something has been just a little off-key all week. Now, why didn't you tell me about it?
Tom, I wish you'd believe me. Everything's... just fine.
Yeah?
I mean it.
Well, if everything's just fine, why are you so pale and why are you perspiring?
Tom...
And there is something?
Tom, there's nothing we can talk about.
But it's serious.
Yes. Serious.
Eleanor, if it should ever come out...
It can never come out, Tom, believe me.
Eleanor...
Please, Tom, don't ask me any more questions. Please.
Sure, sure. Okay. But whatever it is, I'm in your corner. I'll back you. I'll fight for you no matter what you did. Even if you committed murder.
I can't believe we have a free afternoon.
Not Ted. You've been busier than I have.
Well, that's true. I'm the one who's been doing the neglecting. Guilty. I even got you out here on false pretenses. I'm working.
Working?
Mm-hmm. I said let's park the car and go for a little walk in the country, but right here is the site.
What site?
The site of the murder. The Paul Grover murder. Right here past this tree.
Ted, I...
Huh? What is it, darling?
Something about this place.
But if you want to leave...
After all, if you want me to help you.
Right here, past this tree, is where he drove off the road.
To, pick up a hitchhiker.
No. I don't buy that story anymore.
Why not?
There was another car.
Oh?
There were tire marks about 50 feet south of here where another car pulled off the road.
But, didn't the police... Know this 5 years ago?
Oh, sure. It was in the report, but the police are like everyone else. We have a considerable body of knowledge, but we only use what seems relevant at the time.
You think there was another car involved?
That's right. Someone met him here and killed him. It has to be that way, because he was being set up. So you see, I've got some clues. I have those tire marks. They made a mold 5 years ago. And I've got this little button made of bone. It was clutched in Grover's hand. You take a look at it.
I looked. It was a little button. The sleeve button. From corduroy jacket. One of the host of buttons that adorned that jacket. The jacket I had worn that night. There were so many buttons. I never even noticed the one that was missing. That jacket. I still have it. I don't wear it often. But I still have it. It's in one of my closets. What you're saying is that if you can find the jacket it came from, you've got your killer.
That's right. I've got it.
Him?
Well... It's from a man's type field jacket, very popular about 5 years ago, although lots of people wore them. I think you've got one like it back home. Anyhow, there was a fight. Grover was stabbed. The killer took the money.
But I didn't...
You
I...
Didn't what?
I didn't know that robbery was the motive. Wasn't it supposed to have been a secret agent thing?
I figure a hired killer. But he was stupid enough to pick up some loose bills. That should hang him.
Are you sure?
You know what else I've got? I found a witness. There's a little restaurant a couple of miles down the state highway.
Certainly, I don't mind telling you the story again. There was this young man who came in here that night.
How can you remember so far back?
Oh, Mr. Grover was a steady customer. I was a good customer, so I remember what happened the night he died. Yes, he was a good customer, but he put ketchup on everything. Anyway, on that night, this young fellow, he comes in, he's wearing a corduroy jacket and denim pants.
Why did you notice him?
Well, you see, he ordered a steak, and then he pays with a $10 bill, and there's blood on the bill.
Blood?
Yes, so I says to him, this looks like blood. He says, does it? And I says, how did blood get on this bill? And he says, maybe it's blood money. He takes his change, gives me a dollar tip, and leaves.
Why didn't you tell this to the police?
They never asked. Would you believe that this lieutenant here is the first policeman that's walked into my restaurant since it happened 5 years ago?
And can you describe him, Hugo?
I have never forgotten him. He was a big man, 6 foot tall, about 200 pounds. He had black hair, brown eyes, a big scar on the left side of his chin, and the tip of his left pinky finger was missing.
Thanks, Hugo.
Oh, sir, yeah, don't mention it, Lieutenant. As far as the wife is concerned, madam, if I get up early on election day, I might even vote for you.
You would? Why?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's why.
What?
Well, you see, you tell the average politician that you're going to vote for him. He shakes your hand. He looks sincere. He says, thank you. You look sort of surprised. You say, why? That is honest. It shows you're honest, and that's something.
Hi, Eleanor.
Come in, Tom.
Got here as soon as I could. Something wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Or maybe everything's wrong.
Okay, Eleanor, spill it. I don't care what you have to tell me. I don't care how bad it is. Let's get it out of the way.
You carry a thing around with you, Tom. You justify it. You say there was no help for it. It wasn't your fault. Why should you pay for it? But it doesn't let you alone. Whether you admit it or not, it keeps building inside of you, and you feel you just have to tell someone.
I understand. Everyone has his own little secret.
This isn't a little secret, Tom. Funny, isn't it? Of all the people I know, I feel I can only tell you.
What about Ted?
No. No, I can't tell Ted.
Does it concern another man?
Yes, but not the way you might think.
Okay. We had to come to this point, you and I, Eleanor, because, well, we're going places together.
I know.
Eleanor, 10, 15 years from now, you could become president of the United States.
Oh, Tom. Oh, Tom. Thank you. Oh, I needed a laugh.
Why are you laughing? Sooner or later, we'll have a woman president. Why not you?
Dream on, Tom Caldwell. Dream on.
For all of them, it began with a dream. So ask yourself, why not you? Be 40-ish, even more beautiful than you are now. Wiser, more experienced. Now, what could hold you back?
Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Darling?
Ted, where are you?
At police headquarters. I won't be home until late.
Can't it wait?
No. I have to do it now because I just brought in my prisoner.
Who?
The killer. You know, the guy that murdered Paul Grover.
The man... who murdered Grover? Can you be sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. We got him cold.
Is it possible? Can two people have murdered Paul Grover? We know of one, but who is the other? Can there be another? Maybe it's possible to murder a man twice.
We will deal with a number of interesting possibilities when I return shortly with Act 3.
Oh, sure. You can talk about good-tasting diet drinks, but I know. I'm Goldilocks, and here at my taste-testing laboratory, I taste-test them all. And nobody's been drinking my diet drinks until I tested sugar-free diet 7-Up. And then, kabloomy! Every bear wanted some. Diet 7-Up is fresh, natural, delicious. Sugar-free Diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
Hi, I'm Norm Crosby. Did you know that 11 million Americans have an untreated hearing problem? And that includes 3 million school-age kids. Now, most hard of hearing people can be helped, either medically or through amplification. I know because I got help. We have a Better Business Bureau pamphlet that may help you. It's free. Write Better Hearing Institute, Box 1840, Washington, D.C. You hear what you're missing.
When you shop at your friendly Tradewell store, there's never any mystery about the values you receive. Tradewell offers the best food, the best selection, the best service, and at the best possible price. So don't be mystified about shopping for food. Shop at your friendly Tradewell store and stretch your food dollar without sacrificing quality. Here are some outstanding values this week at your friendly Tradewell. Boneless beef cross rib roast, USDA, prime or choice, $1.29 a pound. Banquet frozen meat pies, chicken, tuna, turkey, or beef. 8-ounce packages, 5 for $1. Standby California strawberries, 3 cups for $1. Shop Tradewell for quality with economy. Tradewell is headquarters for USDA prime beef.
Is usually par for the course, it does appear that some people can be murdered twice. 5 years ago, Eleanor Hartley was forced to kill a man in self-defense. And now it develops that the police have evidence against another killer. And Eleanor Hartley, whose horizons are unlimited, now has to make a crucial decision.
Everything all right with Ted?
Yes. Just fine. They got the killer.
Killer?
The one who murdered that, Paul Grover.
Oh, that's great. Well, Ted is really a great detective. Who's the suspect?
I didn't ask.
It'll probably be in the news. Okay, Eleanor, I'm waiting.
Tom, I don't want to lose everything. Why should I lose everything?
You won't lose anything.
Don't say that.
Is it that bad?
Yes.
Well, that'll have to come out.
No, it won't.
Eleanor, Big Jim is out to get you. He'll stop at nothing. Whatever it is, believe me, sooner or later, he'll uncover.
No, he can't. No one can. Only I know.
Eleanor, there is no way out except the truth.
You're wrong, Tom. There's another way out. And it turned up for me tonight. So, the problem is solved. It's settled. It no longer exists.
Eleanor, I...
No, Tom. I've pulled myself together. I realize the stakes I'm playing for. It simply will not bother me anymore.
You say that so easily.
It's a matter of alternatives. What will be best for everyone in the long run?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I sure hope you can live with it.
I've lived with it for 5 years. I can live with it forever. I'll have to. Ted?
Oh, I'm sorry, I woke you.
Did you think I could fall asleep? Tell me everything. Who is he?
Vince Perry. Very bad boy. He's had quite a career. 5 or 6 years ago, he was just a punk. Now he was on his way to being number one in narcotics in this town.
You've got him for murder. How did you? Well, after all, 5 years ago, the police couldn't get anywhere.
Well, I had one break. That little restaurant. I guess the detectives never went there last time. It is an out-of-the-way place, but...
But Why didn't Hugo come forward?
Hugo represents a large group of people. Guys like Hugo simply don't volunteer.
But all Hugo gave you was the description.
It was enough. It told me it was Vince Perry.
But the description, is it enough?
Two other things put him on the scene. The tire marks. They're a very special Italian tire. I checked back. I found out that Vince Perry had come into some money, bought an imported custom Italian car.
Oh.
And the button. I made the rounds of clothing stores all around his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Found out where he bought most of his clothes. Guy checked back through his records, and sure enough, Vince had bought a corduroy jacket with that type of button.
Will all that be enough?
The description, the button, the cast the cops took of the tires 5 years ago. Plus, well, I shouldn't say that.
What?
Plus the fact he looks like a killer, has a bad reputation. Well, we don't have to worry about him anymore.
Why did you say that? Who was worrying about him?
Well, I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong?
No, let me just swallow this.
Wait a minute, what's with the pills?
I need something to help me sleep.
But you never took pills before.
I've never been under this kind of pressure before.
Well, why should you be under pressure?
You don't understand politics.
I thought the idea was just for you to get up and tell the truth.
It's more complicated.
Because you make it more complicated.
Well, you don't know what a strain I...
We're fighting. Is this the way it's going to be?
No. No, darling. Everything will be all right. I'll be all right. What's the schedule for today, Tom?
Hey, I'm worried about you. I don't like the way you look. You're not getting any rest, but it's a light day. Lunch at the City Boosters Club. Guess who'll be there?
Who?
Your worthy opponent, Big Jim Parkhurst himself.
Do I have to meet him?
He's really a very nice guy.
He's a thief.
Oh, and this morning I arranged for you to visit Vince Perry.
Vince Perry?
Yeah, in his cell.
Why would I...
Calm down, calm down.
How could you even suggest...
Look at it this way. You have to do me a favor because I have to do Charlie Colligan a favor.
Who's
Charlie Colligan, he'll deliver the vote for you in the Fourth Ward.
This is the kind of politics that I intend to fight.
No, my dear, these are the kind of politics that I shield you from. Vince Perry just wants to see you.
Why?
Well, it'll be a very private meeting. Nobody will even know you were there.
Why?
Colligan owes him a favor.
Do you mean to tell me that if I refuse to see this gangster, I can lose the Fourth Ward?
It's not that simple, that open and shut. But elections have been lost by one vote.
Well, let's get it over with.
Nice of you to show up, Congresswoman.
I haven't been elected yet.
Oh, I hear it's in a bag.
I only came as a favor to a good friend.
Now, you're getting the hang of politics. That's what it's all about, no? Favors.
I agreed to come to your cell on two conditions. A, it would be kept secret. B, I would do nothing that's foreign to my principles.
Okay. Let's find out what your principles are, huh? Let's see if you want to start out by doing the right thing.
What do you know about the right thing?
I know this. The right thing would be for you to confess to the murder of Paul Grover.
What did you say?
Come on, you know what I said. You know why I said it? You killed Paul Grover. I seen you do it.
That's a lie.
Here's the way it was. Now I get the contract to knock him off. I followed him in my car. I figured I'd bag him after he came out of that restaurant. But first he stops and picks you up. Then, after a couple of minutes, he stops again. So I stop. I heard it all. I seen it all. I let you go. Why not, huh? You did my job for me. I never forget what you looked like.
You can't prove a word of it.
I'm in the spot you were in when he tried to attack you. Now, nobody would have believed you then. Nobody would believe me now.
What do you expect me to do?
Like I say, the right thing. There's two kinds of people, honest folks and thieves. Now, there's a law. The honest folks obey it, period. The thieves break it. I'm a thief. What are you?
Well,
Eleanor, I don't think you two have ever met. I'd like to present you to your opponent, Congressman Jim Parkhurst.
How do you do?
Well, so you're Eleanor Hartley. Well, now I know why I'm going to lose. You're even prettier in person.
I think I'll leave you two to chat.
Are you already conceding, Congressman?
Oh, sure. My time's run out.
Really? But you're running a very aggressive campaign.
Well, you kill a snake, the body can still wiggle. No, dear, I've had it. The voters are wise to me.
You know, I always thought you were an ogre, and you are, but a very charming ogre.
Eleanor, let me give you a word of advice.
Advice?
Best in the world, because it's advice I never followed myself. Now, when I became aware of you for the first time, you broke my heart.
How?
I saw you as I was, 30 years ago, filled with spirit, sincerity, your desire to find the truth, and work for it.
Really?
Yeah, sounds strange coming from me, doesn't it? Well, just remember, it doesn't happen all at once. You wake up one day and, well, yes, you're a crook. You're dishonest. You betray your constituents.
No, you're not really that bad.
My dear, I'm worse. It starts with the first lie, the first deal. That's when you swallow that first tiny drop of poison. Remember that. Have you tasted yours yet? No, don't answer. Just think about it.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you.
Well, I know you'll have a highly successful career because you're a very honest little lady. You might even become president. Good luck.
Well, what did you think of Big Jim?
Tom, I want to do something, but I need your advice. I want to make a statement. It's something that is true, but it would end my career.
Then why make it?
Because it's the right thing to do. Ted, what are you typing?
How was the big luncheon?
Oh, the usual. What are you typing?
Here, want to read it?
To Chief of Detectives, dear Inspector Summerfield, please accept my resignation from the police force. Ted, what's this?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't want to be a cop any longer.
Why? Why?
Well, look, you'll be going to Washington.
But I thought we...
Why do I have to be a cop all my life? Why can't I try something else?
Because, Ted, for you there is nothing else.
Look, let it go.
Ted, I love you.
I love you, too.
What do you want me to do?
About what?
You know. How long have you known?
How long have I known what?
When did you first find out that I killed Paul Grover?
The first night I got the assignment. You told me about it in your sleep. You were having a nightmare, but you told me. And every night since then, in your sleep, you kept telling me. The buttons missing from your jacket in the closet.
Why didn't you arrest me?
How could I? Why should I? Besides, this is the perfect setup for Vince Perry. He's a rat. We're better off without him.
Yes.
And Paul Grover would have been killed by him an hour later. Why should your life be ruined? It's better this way. We need you more than Vince Perry. And it was self-defense, anyhow.
Then why do you want to resign from the force?
Because I just made my first deal. I've taken the first drop of poison.
Someone else said that to me earlier.
I'll stop now before I become the kind of cop I have no use for. Hey, what are you doing?
You can't resign, Ted. You're going to make an arrest.
No, I won't. I can't.
You can. You must. I've taken the first drop, too. And I can't live with it either. Please, Ted.
But it'll be the end.
No, Ted. It won't. You'll see. It'll be the beginning.
It was
was quite an unusual arrest. And an unusual confession. An unusual trial, and a rather unusual verdict. Not guilty. It would be nice to be able to say that she was elected, but no, there is a limit to the unusual. A pity. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally, taste testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I've just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste tested it hundreds of times, and each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
You finally made your gift list. Your neighbor's child is 2, your niece is 6, and nephew is 7. But before you go to the toy store, there's something else you should do. Write TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207, for a free booklet on toy safety. That's TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
You have confessed to a killing if there were a ready-made and worthless scapegoat? Would you have destroyed a promising career in return for a clear conscience? Doesn't sound like much of a bargain, but there are, oh, so many powerful people who wish they had made it. Why don't we all make a bargain to meet here again next time for another adventure in the unusual and the exciting. Our cast included Tammy Grimes, Paul Hecht, Robert Dryden, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
This isn't just a cabin, it's a kind of lodge. Here, that wall lined with books. There, a hi-fi, stacks of records, all classical. And those paintings on the walls. Helen, please.
I want a cup of coffee, and if this door leads to the kitchen...
She just won't listen. Just won't ever listen. Oh, what are you standing there for? Now that you've opened the door, go on in.
Oh, good Lord.
What is it?
Oh, Jim. Oh, Jim.
Helen, what is it?
The kitchen. Oh, the kitchen.
Here, Helen, here. You better sit down. You look like you're going to faint. Now, you just sit there. I'll have a look. Oh, no.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by new sugar-free Diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... Pleasant dreams.
Listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night. Same time, same station.
News next.
KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
Pacific Daylight Time, 12 midnight.
CBS News. The Watergate transcripts are blamed for the loss of additional Republican support of President Nixon. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Republican Senator Marlo Cook of Kentucky said Thursday night the transcripts reveal moral turpitude on the part of President Nixon. Cook says the president must seriously consider resigning. Earlier, Congressman John Anderson of Illinois, chairman of the House Republican Conference, said he does not think the president can command the respect of the people.
I think the important, really fundamental question at this point is whether or not he can possibly command the respect and the trust and the confidence of the American people in view of the disclosures that he himself has now voluntarily made. I do not think so. It seems to me that that record, replete as it is with missed opportunities, lost opportunities to tell people to come forward and tell the truth and to clear the matter up, instead it reveals, I think, a deplorable lack of understanding of what is expected of the chief law enforcement officer of the country.
Anderson also says the transcripts show the president was deeply involved in Watergate and he would now welcome Mr. Nixon's resignation. Three more newspapers which have supported President Nixon in the past are now calling for his resignation or impeachment. The calls are made in Friday morning editions of the Los Angeles Times, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and the Kansas City Times. The Senate Watergate Committee has voted for a second time to subpoena White House Chief of Staff Alexander Haig to testify concerning a $100,000 campaign gift by Howard Hughes. Last week, Haig refused to answer committee questions on grounds of executive privilege. After Thursday's vote to issue another subpoena to Haig, committee chairman Sam Ervin said President Nixon is not the final arbiter of what the committee has a right to seek. More news after this message.
Hello, this is Steve Allen.
You are? Then I must be Jane Meadows.
I hope so.
Now, do you want to tell them, darling, or shall I?
Ladies first, sweetheart. The microphone's
okay.
All yours.
Okay. Well, we have some good news. Steve and I are the honorary chairman of National Goodwill Week. That's May 5th through the 12th.
Mm-hmm. And we're very pleased to be associated with this organization.
Yes.
Because it's the number one rehabilitation facility in the country. You see, Goodwill believes in people, and its business is helping the handicapped help themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Steve, with most of us these days devoting a good portion of our time combating the energy crisis, we tend to forget about the battle that handicapped people face every day just to survive.
Very true. But that's where Goodwill Industries comes in. It offers them a chance to learn a trade, earn a living, and regain their self-respect.
Yes.
Well, our time's about up, Jane, so remember, folks, be good to Goodwill.
Especially during the week of May 5th through the 12th.
After an all-night debate, the Danish Parliament Friday morning approved a vote of confidence in the government, ending the threat of a government collapse in Denmark. There was strong opposition in Parliament to a series of new tax proposals, but the government of Prime Minister Hartling survived the challenge. Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada has set July 8th for new elections after a vote of no confidence in his government. Trudeau will be in the campaign and says he will stand on his budgetary proposals which brought down his regime. In Iceland, Prime Minister Ólafur Johannesson is set June 30th for new elections. Johannesson resigned Thursday, forced out by a number of problems, including some labor unrest and inflation in Iceland. More news after this word.
Hey, that's a nice pot. Thank you.
Listen, you took the last pot. Joe, your turn to start off.
Somebody's shy here. Hey, Ted, sweeten the pot, okay?
All right, come on.
Here we go.
Listen, I'm sorry, but, you know, Mary is out, and I got to go check the baby. I'll be right back.
Come on, Ted. Every time we start a game,
Merry
we never
Christmas,
get this thing
man.
Over with.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry. He'll be back. Here, I'll put him in.
Pass the pretzels, will you?
Here. Come on, Ted. Hey, Ted.
Come on.
Hey, listen, did you ever see those bumper pads? You know, you got to make sure that they're tied in securely all around the crib so the kid can't get caught between the slats.
Boy, are you a nervous father? What can happen to a baby in a crib?
Listen, plenty can happen if you're not careful. Oops, there he goes again. Listen, fellas, I'm sorry, but, you know, just hang in there and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Come on,
just
go ahead and deal.
I'll be right back.
All right.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll be back.
There are lots of things you should know about crib safety before the game begins. For free information, write Cribs, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
In Wachula, Florida, the local mother of the year is really a father. The winner of the local contest is 52-year-old Curtis Azell. His wife died in 1966, leaving him with two children, then aged 11 and 13. They nominated him for Mother of the Year, his daughter saying, "I think my father makes an outstanding mother." Azell, who is the local tax collector, says housekeeping and mothering are not heavy chores in his view.
"This cooking, washing, and ironing's natural with me. I get up at 5:30 every morning after over 20-something years taking care of my kids, and then I don't live but three blocks from the courthouse, go to the courthouse and work all day. I've always had a very optimistic look throughout life, and nothing has really been much of a problem to me, but I work at it. I just think taking them to church, frankly, has been the key to the whole thing."
Curtis Azell, who says it is unusual for a man to be named Mother of the Year. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. And now the weather forecast for Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, and vicinity. Considerable cloudiness and a few showers tonight, decreasing tomorrow with partial afternoon clearing. Partly cloudy Saturday and slight chance of showers. Lows in the mid-40s, highs near 60 tomorrow and the lower 60s Saturday. Wind southwest 10 to 20 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow. 45 degrees downtown, 47 at SeaTac.